James chapter number 2, verse 15 and 16. And if you have a King James Bible, let's read together. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? I'm going to talk to you about helping this morning, about helping. Dear God, again, thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for church and the folks that are here. Dear God, I pray that you bless the nursery, the junior church. Thank you, dear God, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to live this long. Please bless this sermon. Help us not to be distracted by anything going on. Help us not to be a distraction. Help us to focus on the Word of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We ready now? I guess we're ready. It's hard to preach when you just pray. It'll help not to be any distractions, and there's a distraction in the first 30 seconds. James chapter number 2, I'm going to start reading in verse number 13. James chapter number 2, starting in verse number 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I'm going to talk this morning about being a help, being a helper, and helping. You would think that this passage that we just read in James chapter 2 probably doesn't have much to do with helping, until we read verse by verse what we just read together as a congregation in verse number 15 and 16. Works is not, I'm not talking about religious works. This chapter here does not deal with religious works. It's talking about things that are needful for the body. And before we go any further, if you look at verse number 19, it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, nowhere in this passage is the word salvation. Nowhere in this passage is the word saved. We can conclude from this passage and all the other verses in the Bible that salvation is by grace through faith alone. We can conclude from the Word of God that you're not saved by works. We know that because the Bible is very clear that you're born again, not by your own selves or your work or your spirit, but through the Lord Jesus Christ by asking Him to be your Savior. So having read the rest of the Bible and knowing the rest of the Bible that salvation is a free gift of God, we know that James chapter number 2 is not talking about salvation. But it is talking about works. not religious works. He's not talking about studying your Bible. I'm not talking about this morning, which is a labor in the Word of God. I'm not talking about reading the Word of God, which is labor. And I'm not talking about prayer, which is laboring in prayer. I'm not talking about that. I'm not minimizing any of that. That's not what this passage is talking about. It's talking about things that are needful for the body. Read again, verse number 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Your job and my job as a believer in Jesus Christ is to help people. First and foremost, obviously, with salvation. I mean, you can help anybody you want physically, but if they're not saved, they're going to die and burn in hell for all eternity. Doesn't matter how much you feed them, doesn't matter how much you clothe them, doesn't matter how much you house them. But one of the tenets of Christianity is helping the poor. Again, let me repeat, there's no poor people in America. There's drug addicts, there's drunks, there's gamblers, there's people who waste their lives. There's no poor people in America. Especially in the day and age that you and I live in today, you can find a job if you want a job, amen? But there are poor people in the Philippines, and there are poor people in Mexico, and there are poor people in other third world countries that we ought to help and ought to support. That's commanded of us. But this passage is not talking about spiritual work. It's not talking about soul winning here. It's not even talking about visiting or following up converts. It's talking about physical work to help somebody else. You know, Hurricane Florence, Tropical Storm Florence, whatever it is now, went through North Carolina. And people were warned ahead of time, you know, the impending danger and doom, destruction that was coming. They were warned. 4 days, 3 days, 5 days in advance, they were warned it was coming. And people stayed. And so far, I read this morning, at least 18 people have died as a result of the storm. And I'm sure that number's bound to go up. And I feel bad, but it's kind of hard to feel bad for people that were warned that this is coming and they decided to stay there on their own. Give them a lot of credit for staying. I'm not criticizing them. But they were warned that this storm is coming, whether it was going to be that big or less severe. You know, the meteorologists just do the best they can to predict, you know, from all the models they have, from all the training they have. But so far, thus far, you have 18 people that have died who knew this storm was coming. You know where my heart yearns to? Volunteers who go into it to help people with half a brain who decided to stay. My heart goes toward people who are willing to sacrifice their lives to help somebody else. My heart goes to volunteer firemen and first responders. And I'm not talking about FEMA or government employees that get paid by the hour to do it. I'm talking about people who volunteer their time, like neighbors, emergency personnel, strangers, relatives, friends, good Samaritans, who go out of their way to help somebody in their need. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 4:18 says, it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. You know, some people just want to help when they can be seen, when others can see them helping. Some people don't care to help. Some people don't care to volunteer. Some people just look the other way. Some people don't want to work and sweat and labor. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 6, please. Luke chapter number 6. The Bible says in Exodus 23, if thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. That means somebody that hates you or somebody you don't like, and you see his ass fall down, you are not to hide yourself, the Bible says. You're not to shirk your responsibility. Thou shalt surely help with him. In Deuteronomy chapter number 22, the Bible says, thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. Again, most people only help if they're getting paid to help. I have no use for psychologists and psychiatrists who get paid by the hour who supposedly help people. They're not helping you. They're getting paid $300 an hour. Call them after 5 o'clock at night and see how much they'll help you. I have no use for DSS or CPS. Call them after hours and see how much they're going to help you. You think all these government workers and government agencies and welfare departments, you think they're really concerned about you, elder care and all this other stuff that's going on, because they're getting paid. They're getting paid. If they're not getting paid, see how much they help you. That's why I like the Melrose Fire Department. That's why my three boys volunteered over there. I'm the chaplain in the Melrose Fire Department. I like the Melrose Fire Department. You know why? Because it's all volunteer. They just show up. They have work. They have jobs. They work 40, 50, 60 hours, and yet they show up at the Melrose Fire Department when the alarm rings. I like those kind of people. Do you ever notice people on welfare don't volunteer at the fire department? Do you ever notice that people on welfare, people who are lazy, never volunteer? They always look for excuse why they need to get out of something that's physical, or they make them sweat. I never ask lazy people to help me, ever. Because they'll say, well, I helped. You and I know people who go, a friend of mine, one of his relatives was helping him, and he looked at him, and he says, are you all right? Do you need to go to see a doctor? My friend's about 30 years older than this young guy. And he's looking at him, he's huffing and puffing like, maybe you need to go out and work out a little bit. Maybe you need to go to the gym and work out, lift some weights, amen. Maybe you just got to start walking or running or digging or camping or hiking. Do something, amen. But it's amazing how a lack of a work ethic has taught us not to help. People don't know how to help. People don't want to help. It's not that difficult to sit next to somebody in a church building if they don't have a Bible. It's not that difficult to sit next to children that are itchy and fidgety by themselves coming on that bus. It's not that hard to do that. It's not that hard to get up and greet somebody and shake their hand and introduce yourself to somebody. That's not difficult at all. This is helping. This is helping. Luke chapter number 6, please, verse number 38. I never ask people that don't like me to help me. I don't. Because they're going to say, well, I helped him. No, the only reason you help here, if you give or you come, whatever reason, I hope you love God. Just the fact that you show up is helping, to be honest with you. We're going to get to that. Just the fact that you show up, you are helping. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38. Give. That's not talking about money here, even though that's included. I'm talking about you helping somebody. You know what? Most women are lazy. They couldn't cook for a household. Everybody wants to eat out today. Yeah, nobody knows anything about hospitality today. There's no drinking in the auditorium. So, you know what? We have microwave food. We got fast food. But nobody knows how to cook from scratch because it takes too much work. And nobody else wants to help, you know? Everybody wants to have a dishwasher. I'm not against dishwashers. But everybody would rather push a button to get something done instead of helping themselves getting it done. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38. Give your time, yourself, your work, your help. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Amen. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall you also reap. You know, there are evil helpers, the Bible talks about. There are proud helpers who hate God, but they want to help because they get recognition. These famous philanthropists, these millionaires and billionaires. You know, I was just reading this week that Jeff Bezos, whatever it is, and Bezos sounds like a clown to me, but you know, he's a multi-billionaire, probably the richest man now. He gave $2 billion away for some program to help somebody. Somebody calculated that, and they say, well, that's an average of about $1,600 for the average for the other person. For the average person, that's about $1,600. $2 billion to Jeff Bezos doesn't mean much at all, ladies and gentlemen. But for name recognition, oh, I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to give my name out. I'm going to be a philanthropist. Well, you know what? 0.01% ain't much of a help. I'm not saying it's not going to help at all, but it's not much of a help of what you could do. What kind of help are you? What kind of a help are you? Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter number 1, please. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Some verses here are very interesting in the Bible. Not everybody can do physical work. It's kind of disappointing to see Bud Halleck on the roof Friday and Saturday. Joshua, chapter number 1. Kind of disappointed not to see Rick Burdick up on the roof Friday and Saturday. Huh? Can you imagine those two up on the roof? I mean, you know how steep this roof is? No, we don't expect men like that who are up in age with health problems, back problems, to get up on a roof. But everybody can pray. Everybody can pray. Everybody can be an encouragement. That's a help. Joshua chapter number 1, he says in verse number 16, now I want to go to verse number 12. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Now watch this, verse number 14. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and what's it say? Help them. Well, how can the women and the children who are going to stay on the other side of the Jordan River help the armed men going to do battle in Jericho? Well, just the way God said in Genesis chapter number 2, that a wife ought to be a help meet for her husband. She can't do the physical work that a man can do. Most women can't. And if a woman can do that, I wouldn't want to be married to her. I don't want to be married to a 300-pound tackle, amen? Oh, give me a hug. I don't think so. And the Bible calls her the weaker vessel, but that doesn't mean she can't help. That doesn't mean children can't help. That doesn't mean people that are frail cannot help. That doesn't mean people who are old, up in age, can't help. That doesn't mean people who have diseases and they're handicapped and wrought with disease can't help. Every believer can pray. Every person can help. Now, I understand this is a lighthouse and a spiritual hospital that is here to help people. But it's more important for you to learn how to help instead of getting help. Because you'll get more help from God when you learn to help. Physical needs, we're talking about, James chapter number 2, other people. Other people. So when you learn to help, your mind will change. It's not all about you, ladies and gentlemen. It's not all about me, myself, and I. Everybody's so egotistic today and self-centered today, they don't even look across the street. They don't even know their neighbors. They've never introduced themselves to somebody. It's like the Pharisee passed on the other side of the road, but the Samaritan went to where he was. So the women and the children stayed on the other side, but they were helpers in the war. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. A little Bible study here this morning. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29. I don't need anybody's help except God. And I see somebody struggling, I see somebody that could use my help, I'm running to somebody who needs my help or could use my help. If I see, I don't turn the other way. If I see somebody needs help, my wife's bringing groceries and stuff, I'm helping my wife. I said, why can't you guys tell Rosella yesterday? And they were, how come you can't carry more than that, Rosella? She's probably sick and tired of me. I mean, the saying's been for the last, I don't know how many months now, are we halfway there? We're halfway done. But you can have fun helping people, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse number 34. But the priests were too few so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. I mean, the Levites saw that the priests were too few, and so they join in. This is physical work. Now, obviously, in the Old Testament, they were offering the sacrifices, but it's physical work. Night and day, they were sacrificing. Did you ever butcher animals all day long? Did you ever butcher sheep, goats, chickens? One time, I think our record was like about 30 roosters we killed one time, you know? It was like an assembly line. You know, I'm going to go pray. No, that's not a time to pray. I'm going to go read my Bible. I'm going to study in the Word. No. That's what hypocrites and lazy people do. When it's time to work, you join the work. When it's time to help, you join helping. People who don't are lazy and trying to weasel their way and make excuses why they can't help. That's why I don't go to churches if it's not an independent fundamental Baptist church that believes the King James Bible is the Word of God. I have no use to help evangelical churches. Now, if I'm on vacation and I want to take pictures and I want to report on why evangelical churches are dead and away from God, I'll do that. But I'm not going to go in a church building and give one dime or one nickel or one penny in a church that doesn't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Why would I help that? Why should I do that? I'd rather help somebody who's struggling in a storefront somewhere. I want to help somebody who just started a church somewhere in a poverty-stricken area. I don't need to go to some rich cathedral where they got tons of money because they're compromising. Everybody wants to go to a big box religious center so they can dance and jump up and down and have the strobe lights pumping in music and pumping in the colors. I don't need that. I don't need to help that. Take a Bible, please. Turn to Judges, chapter number 5. Judges, chapter number 5. There's a Bible study on helping. Just the fact that you show up helps. You know, people say, well, Pastor, I don't feel right with God, and I'm so sinful, and I'm so wicked, and I'm so backslidden. I don't feel like I should come to church. Do you realize when a visitor comes here, they have no idea who you are? They don't know what you're struggling with. They don't know your heartaches. They don't know your burdens. They just know that a body showed up. Just the fact that your body sits within 18 inches of a pew. Well, sometimes 24, maybe 36 inches, whatever amount of space you take up. That was pretty funny if you heard it the first time. Unless you're 24 or 36 inches. Well, what I'm saying is they don't know anything about you. They don't know that you're struggling. They don't know you got health problems or financial problems or marriage problems or children problems. They have no idea what's going on in your life. Just the fact that you show up is an encouragement to everybody else. I'm telling you, it was an encouragement when somebody showed up Friday and Saturday. Because the more hands, you know. The Greek saying is, or something like that. The many fix the city, build the city. It's a lot harder to do it one person or two people. When you got 3, 4, 5, or 6, you know, cutting trees and cutting limbs, and you have 5 or 6 people mocking and laughing at the idiot up on the roof, you know. I'm not mentioning any names. We need that roof fixed in another 5 or 10 years, maybe. By that time, he'll be 70. I don't know. Judges chapter number 5. I surely wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings this morning. Verse number 23. Judges chapter number 5, verse 23. Again, I don't ask lazy people to help me. I don't ask people who don't like me to help me. Judges 5, verse 23. Curse ye Miraz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Watch this. Because they came not to the help of the Lord. To the help of the Lord against the mighty. God doesn't need any help. God needs no help at all. Unless it's talking about his people. And God's curse is on those that don't help his people. Saul, Saul. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Who art thou, Lord? Paul didn't know he was persecuting Jesus when Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. But Jesus told Paul, I said, why are you persecuting me, Paul? God can do anything he wants. God created everything out of nothing. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. But you can fight against God. And you cannot help God by not helping the people of God. And God's curse, that's what it says. Curse ye Miraz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Why? Because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. I would not want to be cursed by God Almighty. I surely would not want to be cursed by God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 19, please. 2 Chronicles chapter number 19. That's why when Brother Hiles was alive, I went to pastor school. You know why? Because he was hated more than any other preacher probably alive. He's probably criticized more than any other preacher alive. So that's why I went to pastor school. I called him my pastor as long as he was alive. I called up, asked questions of his staff. I had an interview with Brother Hiles and talked to him privately. And, you know, he was one of my heroes. Not that I agree with 100% Brother Hiles, everything he said or did, but he was one of my heroes. You know why I was attracted to him? Because how much people hated him. You want everybody to like you. You want everybody to love you on Facebook. You got a problem with your personality. You got a problem with your inner self because you want to be liked so much. I'm somewhere. 2 Chronicles chapter number 19, verse number 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat was a good man. He wasn't a drunkard. He was saved, a child of God. He was a good king. He did that which was right in the eyes of God. Good king. But God sends a wild-eyed, crazy preacher of a man, name of Jehu, and he said this. Shouldest thou help the ungodly? And love them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to see God. So here's a good man that Jehu asked the question, shouldest thou help the ungodly? Everybody wants to help the ungodly people today, man. Everybody wants to help. So you get, I help so-and-so, you know, and you want to put on Facebook how much you help somebody. You want to put it on your page, you know. So you want everybody to see how nice you are. I do not care to help football leagues or soccer leagues or baseball leagues or basketball leagues. I do not care to help worldly organizations, especially government agencies and programs. I do not care to help fund drives and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and libraries and government schools. I do not care to help the ungodly worldly churches that do not teach salvation by grace and holiness. I do not care to help the town government, the village government, the city government, the state government, or the federal government. I do not care to help big business, solar programs, the pharmaceuticals, big agriculture, the communists, the socialists, politicians, bureaucrats, regulators, the police state, the IRS, the internationalists, the monopolies, the bankers, the Illuminati, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Affairs, the private company called the Federal Reserve, and any organization or company or group that does not promote freedom and liberty. I have no reason to help any of those. But I am going to help God's people, even if I'm the only one. I'm going to show up when I think somebody could use my help, even if I'm the only one. I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how old I am. I can still pray and encourage. All you have to do is show up. People are hurting today. People have broken lives, shattered dreams. Death and despair just about everywhere. Everybody has heartaches, broken hearts, devastated lives, unexpected difficulties, relationships broken, family problems and marriage problems and children problems and grandchildren problems, health problems, financial problems, disasters and emergencies. Why don't you decide to volunteer? Not to help the ungodly and the worldly, but why don't you volunteer to help God's people? Just by showing up. Coming to church here, you're a help to this ministry just by showing up. Said, Pastor, I can't do much. Just the fact that you showed up this morning is a help, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, the more people that show up to a church, the more encouraged others are. You know, you come here, you say, well, I wonder where so-and-so is. You come here and say, well, we don't have too many people today. You come here and you say, well, we have a lot of people here today. Don't tell me those thoughts don't cross your mind. The fact that somebody else is physically present is a help to other people. They're encouraging somebody along the way. Look, everybody's having a tough time, ladies and gentlemen. The less people that show up for church, the more discouraged most folks become. Now, I know I'm an anomaly. I don't get depressed or discouraged. I'm sorry, I don't. There's just something wrong with me. I know, I'm telling you. But I don't get discouraged. Discouraged is a lack of courage. Depression is a choice that you make. You decide to be depressed because you're not right with God. Amen. You know what you need? You need a good physical workout somewhere and go work somewhere and sweat somewhere for about 8, 10, 12 hours. Amen. The Kalita's gym is open in the back. We don't charge a membership fee. Lots of room away from Route 40. Lots of room over there. We got cutting, splitting, stacking to do. Lots of work. And it's free. You weasel your way out of work, though, because you don't like. I'm talking about physical work. James chapter number 2 is physical. Things that are needful for the body, food and clothing, raiment. Hey, you're going to be thankful next time it rains it's not leaking over here. Yeah. You're going to be thankful next time the storms come and the winter come and the gutters are all fixed and patched. And aluminum sheeting put down and the flashing put down so the water doesn't come in through those windows anymore. The more folks that come to the adult Bible study and going to breakfast in the morning, the more encouraging you'll be, the more help you'll be. The more you come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Bible studies and church services, the more encouraging you'll be. The more folks come out soul winning and street preaching, the more encouraged people will be. The more often you go to the loyalty meeting or the tent meeting or the old paths in the valley meeting, hymn sings, or work day around the church property, helping others who could use your help. Every time you show up, you are being a help. Church gatherings, church dinners, hospital visitation. Hey, when's the last time you visited somebody in a hospital? Hey, when's the last time you visited somebody in jail? Hey, when's the last time you visited somebody in a nursing home all by themselves, stuck in there because their kids are too stinking lazy to take care of their parents, even though the parents changed their diapers when they were 6 months old, 3 months old? You could prepare meals for those who have had children or recently had children or those who are shut-ins or those who are elderly. If you want to help, you could help. But most people choose not to help. So how can I help, Pastor? Well, have a sweet spirit. Smile doesn't cost you anything. Everybody can smile. I said, everybody's going through a tough time, but everybody can smile. If you love Jesus, you could smile. If you were right with God, you could smile. Because that person sitting next to you in church who has a broken heart worse than you needs your encouragement. You could be courteous. People don't even know how to be courteous today. You could be friendly. You could be respectful and humble and sincere. You could greet people. We have people come to church here for years, have no idea who the person sits on this side knows the person over on this side. We have people sitting in the back and have no idea who sits in the front. We have people sitting in front have no idea who the people in the back are. It doesn't take too much of logic and sense and whatever you want to call it to get up and introduce yourself, not just the visitors, but everybody else. It doesn't take much to sit next to a child, like I said before, who's fidgety. If you want to help, if you know what you want? You want a worship service that's unbiblical, not right with God, where you can go sit in some 3-inch plush carpet, hear some piped in music to make you soothe and feel so good all over and not help anybody. You want to be religious without being a help. That's why they have their formal worship services. And so somebody comes from a broken background, drugs, alcohol, all their lives, messed up. You say, boy, they're weird. Well, at least they're in the house of God. Why don't you try to be a help to them? Why don't you try to be an encouragement to them? Maybe you've never been where they're at. You ought to thank God you've never been there if you've never been there. But you look at somebody says something the wrong way and somebody said some word they shouldn't have said. Instead of helping them, you're criticizing them. So I hope they don't come back. Okay. I want to be a help. How can you help? Inviting folks. Not being petty. Not being envious. Not being jealous. It's sad. So many people are envious and jealous. They're petty. They purposely try to look for things about people that they don't like and blow it out of proportion. They gossip. They're critical. They don't want to help. I'm talking about physical help. Every penny you give helps pay the bills, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what other churches do with their money, but we're debt-free. We don't owe any money to anybody. We pay the bills every single month. We don't have a mortgage. God's been good to us. God's blessed. Amen. You know why? Because for 31 and a half years, God's blessed and God's provided. Amen. We don't have no big trust fund. We don't have no secret accounts. One time we went to the bank to get a loan for a bus, or I can't remember what it was. This is about 15 years ago. And they started asking, well, how much do you have in mutual funds and how much do you have in these things? You know, like $1 million accounts. I said, well, our pews are worth about maybe $500. I said, you know, of course we were denied, but God provided. Amen. You can look around. We're not a rich church. People give. You know why? Because they want to help. They want to help. That's why they give. You can give. I don't care how much you got to give. Every single penny counts, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that we have the AC on, the lights are on, the heat's on the winter time, the roof is being fixed. Amen. Everything costs money. You can volunteer. You can do physical work. You can clean inside or outside. You can do maintenance work. Or you can learn how to do it. You can straighten out books and pews. You can give. There's missionaries to support. We have bills to pay to keep the bus on the road, to keep the van on the road, the electric, the heat. We need a new sign, too. We need new carpets. We need work in the kitchen, the nursery, the basement, Sunday school classes, a junior church room. Love offerings and trips that we can take to revival meetings. Everybody can help. If you want to help, there's a way. If you don't want to help, then you always find a way to weasel out and not help. Ezra 8:22, the Bible says, I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. And you know what? Everybody loves the Salvation Army downtown. Whether it's in Cohoes or Troy, say, oh, they help somebody. They don't help anybody because they're getting help from the government, my taxpayer money. Those vehicles that they are running are because of our taxpayer money. If they want to help people, then get off the government dole and let those people give on their own. You say, well, they got a nice building. That's because the government pays them for it. They got government agencies in there that give them money and support. We don't get no government help here. We don't get a penny from the federal government. We don't get a penny from the state government. We don't get a penny from the city government. And we don't want it because we don't want their help. The Bible calls that proud helpers and evil helpers. I want it to be known that God Almighty helped for 31 and a half years. I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we have spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath against all them that forsake him. And I'm not just pointing out Salvation Army. I can list about 90% of all the other churches do the exact same thing. Psalm 12:1 says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And that's what we have today. Ecclesiastes 4, the Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And I say, even though it's woe for him that is alone, it's a double time woe for the person that refused to help the person that falls down. My job is to go around and pick people up, not stomp on them, put them back down, and criticize them. This is a spiritual hospital where we run spiritual ambulances and spiritual emergency rooms and spiritual operations. And you know what we need? We need nurses and nurses' aides and physicians' assistants, and we need clerks, and we need everybody else to run inside a spiritual hospital to help people. Lamentations 4:17, the Bible says, as for us, our eyes had yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no hope for America, and America is not going to save you. Remember those words. America is not going to save you. There's too many people putting their hopes and their dreams. Oh, I hope the Republicans win. I hope the Democrats win. I hope my party wins. I hope my candidate wins. I hope my politician wins. Let me repeat this. As for us, our eyes are yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. Thank God for Trump, but he's not going to save America. This will be good. Thank God for right-leaning libertarians, but even they're not going to save America. America's too far gone. She's doomed. I'm not going to help the government. I'm not going to help America. I want to help my neighbor. I want to help God's people. I want to give all I can until I take my last breath, even if I'm the only one. Zechariah 1:15, the Bible says that I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Everybody's at ease today. Everybody wants to be at ease today. That's why your muscles are atrophied. That's why you can't breathe. That's why people weasel out of work. That's why people are lazy. This welfare mentality has seeped into God's people's minds and brains and into God's churches. Well, as long as I got breath, we're fighting it tooth and nail, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's why people on welfare, they're not going to feel comfortable here until they get off of welfare, amen. And I understand some people need help, and we do try to help people as much as we possibly can. But if you're lazy, you're not going to feel comfortable in here until you start learning how to work, amen, and get a job and pay the bills and be responsible. Buy your own place. Mary Frances, can you go back outside, please? Thank you very much. Until you buy your own place and pay the bills and pay the electric bill and pay the phone, pay the heat, you won't grow up. Amen. You won't mature. Amen. You won't mature. You know what? I want to help. Yes. I want to help. I want to help God. I want to help God's people. I know God doesn't need my help. But you know what? I don't want to be cursed from God because I didn't come to God's help when God's people needed their help. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for this lighthouse. And probably everybody in this area knows us for preaching the old-time religion, knocking on doors, handing out gospel tracts, street preaching, preaching some controversial subjects, as they call them, and things that they don't like. I'm sure that's what we're known for. But dear God, I don't want to drop the ball and leave the others undone about us physically working and physically laboring and providing needful things for the poor, for the body, for those who are struggling, whether it's a monthly rent to be paid, the monthly utility bill that needs to be paid, bags of groceries, the lights turned on. You have commanded us to help, especially the household of faith. You've commanded us, Lord, to be a help. I pray, and this is just the tip of the iceberg of these verses we read this morning. Help us not to be a weasel, to weasel out of responsibility. When we see our neighbor's ass fall, help us not to make an excuse, a spiritual excuse, and act like we're so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. Help us to be sincere. Help us to love people sincerely. Help us to look how we can help others without being asked, without complaining. Dear God, I want to thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. I want to thank you for everybody that's walked through these doors and helped this ministry in any way at all. Thank you for the people that you've sent to help. Not for our own good, not for ourselves to line our own pockets, but to keep the lights on, keep the roof from leaking, keep the AC on in the summer, the heat on in the winter, so that when visitors come, converts come, they can be welcomed by a group of people who love you and love others. We can greet them and love them and help them and encourage them. Too often we don't think the physical things are important, that are needful. But James 2 is very clear. How can you say you have faith without works? Physical, needful to the body. Bless these dear folks. Please bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.